Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Theologian Karl Rahner has suggested that it should be our lifelong hope to become Christians, not be Christians. The implication, of course, is that it is a lifelong process and journey, not an end product or a destination. But at an even more basic level, what I find appealing about this image is that it calls us into a fullness of being. Become is a verb. And I believe that to live as Christians, we do our best to always be grounded in verbs. Praying, singing, serving, loving, listening, doing, giving, faithing, incarnating. The list can go on, but each and every way that we can name actions of being Christ's hands and heart in this world call us into a becoming. How and what we are to become are reflected for us in the epistle from James and our gospel from Mark today. The letter of James can be read as a kind of Christian wisdom literature. Our passage today might be summed up by saying that wisdom is about being able to live well the truth that we believe and the faith that we embrace. And while this epistle was the target of Martin Luther's argument about works righteousness versus justification by faith, for the author of this letter, faith and works were not opposed, but two pieces of a wholeness of what it meant to become a Christian. Part proclamation that generous acts of giving are an extension of God's grace, part advice on how to live in community, part instruction on how to live out faith, part admonition about adhering to pure religion. The whole of this passage is about how to continue becoming. For James isn't writing about a sudden call to conversion. He's writing about how to let God's word, already implanted in our hearts, have its full effect in our lives. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above. Because we have been loved, we are called to love in the world around us. For true generosity is a way of loving. How do you define generosity? Listen to this definition and see if it matches. Generosity is giving and sharing. It is giving freely because we want to, not with the idea of receiving attention, a reward, or a gift in return. Giving freely also means that you give without concern for what someone does with your gift. Generosity is a quality of spirit. It is an awareness that there is plenty for everyone. It is one of the best ways to show love. To be truly generous in this way is a way of being that must be continuously cultivated. How often do we give with the intent to control rather than love? I will give you this, but only if you do with it what I want you to. Is often embedded in our giving, whether we realize it or not. But James calls us to give freely, as God has freely given to us. And for many of us, this must be a continuous becoming. Lead with your ears, follow with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. This paraphrase from Eugene Peterson's The Message hits to the heart of an essential way of being Christian community. What this speaks to for me is our ability to trust. For when we trust one another, we have the capacity to truly listen. without feeling the need to begin thinking about our own responses, or more often, rebuttals. In this way, there is room for the Spirit to kindle among us. Trust takes time, and so it is that this will also, too, always be a process of becoming, as communities continue to grow and change over months and years. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers. Actions speak louder than words, as the saying goes, or as Ralph Waldo Emerson put rather more poetically, go put your creed into your deed. What you do speaks so loud, I cannot hear what you say. This is where faith becomes the action of faithing. It's put into practice. And with all things that take practice, you only see results over time. In this case, it is the work of a lifetime, always becoming, as we find the balance in our lives between this call to be doers and the need to simply be with God in community as well. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. James closes this portion of the letter with what many consider to be the heart of the gospel message: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We are shown that the integrity of faith embraces neighbor and self. True religion watches out for the vulnerable and also for one's own vulnerability. In this way, James understands pure religion as being inclusive of both social ministry and personal morality. That can only play out over a lifetime. It is never a discrete action or decision. All of these ways of being and becoming that James offers is wisdom. In wisdom, describes what it looks like to live in everyday faithfulness that is most fitting response to what God has done and continues to do in our lives and in the world. Living faithfully, that is faithing, faith in action, is at the heart of today's gospel message. On the surface, Jesus' interactions with the Pharisees seems to be all about faith and action. The Pharisees called Jesus out on the behavior of some of his disciples, that is, their neglect of washing their hands before eating. To be clear in our understanding of this interaction, though, there are first century undercurrents that we must address. The concern here is not about cleanliness. What the Pharisees are addressing is a break in the purity rules of their time. If you were faithful in your action, then you would be ritually washing your hands before you ate. The word that here is translated as defiled or unclean for the disciples' hands is just as easily understood as common or ordinary. The Pharisees believed that food should be eaten with sanctified hands, not ordinary hands. Thus, that was their bone to pick with Jesus, as they saw a breakup between faith and action. It is important to note that Mark is exaggerating when he suggests that all the Jews obeyed the Pharisees' tradition. And it's also important to point out that if you really look there, while he calls them hypocrites, he never condemns their belief or practice. Rather, Jesus returned the subtext that they were using against him and his disciples right back at them. Realizing that the root of their questioning was not about ritual purity in and of itself, but was instead using it as a way to judge and oppress, Jesus does call them hypocrites, and he responded as he often did with something radical. Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. In a social world that saw purity as a product of following particular behaviors, Jesus affirmed that purity was the product of what people were like on the inside instead. And so it is that when God is not at the center of our heart, our outward actions can slip into sin. The laundry list of sinful activities that Mark includes are similar to the ones found in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And in that list, if you heard a resonance of that old standby, the seven deadly sins, then make no mistake, because these were indeed the origins of that list. There is a small but wonderful book, children's book, called Seven Lonely Places, Seven Warm Places, The Vices and Virtues for Children. And in this book, children are introduced to those ways of being that make us lonely, that estrange us from God and others, as well as those ways of being that make us warm, that bring us into God's embrace and loving relationship with others. This image of lonely and warm opens up for me that while our behaviors may in fact show our purity, it is the intent of our hearts that can either purify or defile. And here is where I see the connection to becoming Christians. For me, at least, life seems to be a continuous cycle of falling away, returning, and seeking reconciliation. It's not a simple repeat of the same things over and over again. Rather, it's a process of learning how to love God, love others, and love myself more fully. And that over time, I learn how to inhabit those warm places more often than the lonely places. We are always becoming. The question is, what will we become? Will we orient our lives toward being and action and becoming who God is calling us to be? How can we live into generous giving? Will we lead with our ears? What does it look like to be a doer? Do others know us as Christians by how we treat the orphans and widows of our own time? And how will we show forth purity? In heart and mind, in action and in practice? These are the questions that I hope we all pray about this week, and that we may embrace the wisdom found in these scriptures, so that we never settle for just this thing called being a Christian, but instead always work toward becoming a follower of Christ. Amen.